He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the very outset of the season of Lent, when we began our journey towards the magnificent and victorious day of Easter, we encountered Jesus in the desert with Satan, being tempted after 40 days of fasting and emerging from his test victorious. And now that we have followed him through these 40 days of Lent in imitation of his solitude and sacrifice, truly just a faint shadow of the work of his earthly passion, we now truly rejoice that the fast is over and the feast is here. A 40-day fast beginning at Ash Wednesday, followed by a 40-day feast, concluded with the Feast of the Ascension. And here, at the center, is the great day of resurrection. The Paschal Feast begins on Easter Day. For Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. On the first Sunday of Lent, we read about how Satan strangely offered Jesus authority by showing him all the kingdoms of the world. That's odd. We read about how he offered Jesus something like fame, suggesting that he cast himself down from the highest point on the temple and be caught by angels. And as he did with the first Adam, he offered Jesus nourishment by suggesting he turn stones into bread. You remember the offering of food at the tree in the Garden of Eden. Our Lord, in a weakened state, was not bested, but the opposition of the enemy was also not just brushed off. There was some kind of power to be dealt with here. Indeed, the second person of the Trinity could not be approached by some fallen angel, but the Son had taken humanity up into himself and was born of the Virgin Mary, fully God, fully man. There was the weakness. The weakness was in the flesh. And Satan knew for a fact that there was weakness here. He knew he could appeal to gluttony, to avarice, to vainglory, which would truly tempt the Son of God, for he had approached Adam and Eve with exactly the same things. And he approaches each of us with exactly the same things ever since. We are tempted, and we often fall. But Jesus was tempted, and here was something new. A perfect rejection of sin. A human who would not yield to temptation. And by the end of his earthly ministry, it could be said by St. Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews that Jesus had been tempted in all things, but without sin. That was new. Never since the first Adam had there been a pure and unfallen human, although he fell and Eve fell as well very quickly. Here was the second Adam. As the creature approaches the Creator, as Satan approaches the second person of the Trinity, he could not expect triumph. But baiting Christ's humanity, this is where the attack would land, and boy, did the attacks come on strong. By the end of his time on the cross, Jesus had not acquiesced one time. And he could cry out, "It is finished." And shortly afterward, give up the ghost. The worst Satan could devise had come to its full fruition on Good Friday, but make no mistake, even that day was good. Jesus could say to the enemy the same words that Joseph had said to his brothers at the end of the book of Genesis, those that had thrown him into a pit and sold him into slavery. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." On Easter, we see just how this is fulfilled. No longer would Satan have grounds to tempt the Lord, for Jesus Christ descended into the lower parts. He swallowed up death in victory. In his suffering, he was triumphant, for the innocent one suffered as a manifestation of the light of perfect love. In his crucifixion, he was triumphant, for that tree, which was meant for the destruction of him, was itself converted into the instrument by which salvation would be won. In the grave, our Lord was triumphant, for all that had been dragged down to Hades beforehand had been swallowed up and held captive in a place of departed spirits. But Jesus entered the maw of death and pried it open to set captives free. The banner of salvation had almost entirely unfurled as Christ was in the tomb. But the promise prophesied by King David and repeated by St. Peter in his powerful sermon in the second chapter of Acts was this: "Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." It was not yet complete when a perfect sacrifice was made. It was not yet complete when all the worship of the Old Testament was fulfilled by the offering of a spotless lamb of Bethlehem. But now death that had swallowed up all things until that night, death would now be swallowed up itself in victory. And the Lord God wiped away all tears, not with consolation or sympathy or pity, but with absolute victory and triumph. On Resurrection Day, it is not only that Christ, our Passover Lamb, is sacrificed for us, but now Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Christ emerged from the tomb as a warrior rises in defeat of his enemy. Christ, who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, who did not raise his voice against his persecutors, but rather forgave them, reveals that those arms stretched out on the cross were not stretched out in defeat, but in welcome embrace. The hands and arms of God are stretched out to save, to welcome in those who would follow him. We are brought in and invited to participate in this victory. We are welcomed to allow this banner of victory to cover us. And we are invited as Christians to have our lives transformed so that he dwells in us and we dwell in him, and our lives become his life, and his victory becomes our victory, and his resurrection becomes our resurrection. And like him, the means made use of for our destruction may be converted into the instruments of salvation. In Christ, the very site of our temptation can become the place of our victory. The prophet Isaiah declared, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from faces." And today we rejoice to see the prophecy is fulfilled, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.